It is good to be here with you again today. Look with me into the book of Revelation chapter 20. The book of Revelation chapter 20. I'll begin reading with verse 11. Once you find that, put your finger in it because that's our primary text today. But I also want you to find the book of Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And once you get there, mark that. Be sure that you pray for Brother Mike as he is in revival this week, and show your support to him by going to Wayndale one night this week. I think it's tonight through Wednesday. Don't go tonight. Does it go through Friday? Okay, tonight through Friday. Don't go tonight. Come back here. I'll be preaching here tonight. So I don't want you all to run down there. I know you'll hear a better sermon if you go down there, but, you know, I get lonely here if I'm here by myself, just Dennis and I here. Dennis may not like it. But one night this week, as you have opportunity, go down and show your support to your pastor and just encourage him and be there with them. I think you'll be encouraged just by going to the worship service there and letting God speak to you. Jan and I are getting excited this Wednesday. Pray for us, if you would. We'll begin our journey to India this time next week. If things go as planned, I'll probably be preaching in a church someplace in India. And we're excited about that and be doing a crusade, also be doing teaching. And just found out about a week ago that we'll be teaching about 100 gypsy youth on the Saturday before we return. Not the first Saturday we're there, but the second Saturday we're there. And we have about a four-hour conference with them that we're going to be doing and encouraging them to come into full-time Christian ministry. All of them should be Christians, as I understand it, as best I understand it. I may be wrong. I want to encourage them to go into full-time Christian ministry. And for them to go into full-time Christian ministry is much different than going in full-time Christian ministry here. When you go into full-time Christian ministry here, people rejoice and people are excited. Your family is usually excited about you doing that. When you go into full-time Christian ministry there, especially if your parents are not in the ministry, you almost become an outcast in that society. So it's a great commitment for these young people to do that. The man that we'll be working with just got out of jail just a couple three weeks ago. He was in jail for sharing his faith and talking about Jesus. And I think he still has a court date to go to. Hopefully not while we're there. I don't want to go to court with him. I sure don't want to go to jail with him. But if I wind up in jail over there, some of you come and get me. Get me out and help us, because the kind of area that we get to travel to that God's given us the privilege to work in. And hope that you'll pray for us and be a part of our work there as you pray for us every day, especially as we travel. I was telling Bill this morning, the worst part of the trip for me is not the time I will spend in India. The worst part of the trip is getting from here to India. I used to love to fly, but I hate it anymore. We have flown so much in the 4 years that we served, or the 6 years that we served with the Foreign Mission Board, that I just kind of got tired of flying. And I hate to go through airports anymore and don't like it. I don't like getting on an airplane knowing that we're going to spend most of the night on an airplane. I just don't care for that anymore. So if they could just somehow fax me there, I would be happy. Then whenever the mission was over, they could fax me back. I would really be excited. But I get a lot more excited about Friday evening whenever we finally arrive in the destination where we're going. So pray for us, if you would, during that time. Last night, as I was preparing what I thought I was going to preach this morning, the Lord began to lay another passage on my heart, the passage that we're looking at this morning. And as I prayed about it and began to think about it, I woke up this morning thinking about it, and I kind of decided, you know, the Lord was trying to tell me something. I'm a little hard-headed sometimes and don't always listen to Him, but I think God has a message for us in this passage of Scripture. In chapter 20 of Revelation, here's what John writes. Then I saw a great white throne, and Him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, mark that spot because we're going to be coming back to it. Turn with me over to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. I'm going to read verses 31 through the remainder of that chapter in just a few moments. And I'd like for you to be at that passage so that we can read it together as we look at that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you and thank you for loving us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your leadership and direction in our lives. Thank you for bringing us together this morning that we may honor and praise you, we may give glory to you, and we may thank you for the blessings of life, for the blessings of the Holy Spirit, for the blessings of using us this week, giving us the blessed privilege of being a part of your ministry and your work. Heavenly Father, I pray today that your Spirit will move in such a way that we may see Christ. Lord, I just pray for every heart and every soul that is here that today lives are changed because you speak to us through your Holy Spirit. I pray, Heavenly Father, you give me a fresh anointing of your Spirit, a fresh word, a fresh power. And Lord, just give me the strength and the boldness to proclaim your message today. Give me a fresh anointing this day that we may serve and glorify you. Bless us now, Lord, as only you can do, for we give you the glory and pray for what does happen here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Back many years ago, before the computer age, and I was alive before the big computer age came along. In fact, I wish I'd been smart enough to listen to a person that advised me to invest in apples whenever it first came out. And I thought, I don't need apples. The only thing I like to do with an apple is have apple pie or them fried apple pies. Didn't have a clue what it was. I remember the first time that my son John, our middle child, came in the house and we just bought this computer. It was really our first real computer. And he come in and he saw it and he said, "Oh, good, Dad, I can hook the telephone up to this and I can get into the library down at school and I can lay away this book that I need and I don't have to go down there." And I looked at him and I said, "Boy, listen to me. If you want that book, you best get in your car and go down there and get it." "No, Dad, you don't understand. I can plug this thing into the telephone and I can do this." I said, "Boy, listen to me. Now, you better listen to words of wisdom. If you want that book, you best get in that car and get down there to that library and get it because I ain't going to buy it." "No, Dad, you don't understand. We can do this." And I said, "Son, we can't do anything. Now, you might be able to do this, but I can't do it. But my advice to you is get in your car, go down there and get the book." Well, he didn't. He plugs the telephone into the back of that computer and does whatever he did. And I still don't really have an understanding of what he did or how it works. It's amazing to me. But he had the book the next day when he come in, and a little smart-aleck boy like he is walked in and shook it in my face and said, "See, I told you what I could do with that thing." Folks, I come from a generation that has come into this thing. And back a few years ago, I didn't have a clue what that was. And it amazes me today what the computer can do. Now, just a word of advice, you that have children at home and you're not computer literate, you need to learn it and get in there and see what your kids are looking at on the computer. The greatest problem in America today is going to be the computer. And what kids can see and what they can learn and what they can do. A computer is a marvelous thing, but it is the greatest danger and harm in our society today. And parents, you need to be involved in your kids' lives as they go through this computer experience because it's a dangerous time. But back before the computer age, I would read a passage of scripture like this where it talked about the books in heaven. And I would imagine in my mind these angels sitting around in these rooms with these books open and writing down everything. And I thought, how in the world could all those angels be in a room up there writing down everything that we do, every thought that we have? Because the Bible says one of these days we're going to stand in the judgment of God and we're going to give an account for everything that we have done, everything we haven't done, and we're going to give an account for every thought that we've had. How in the world could that happen? How in the world would there be room in heaven for people with all them books? Because that's not going to be just for me. It's going to be for everybody. But then along comes the computer. And when the computer comes along, now I can imagine the angel sitting in heaven going, I don't think they're doing that either, because you know, you can take a computer now and you can get you a microphone hook up to that dude and it will type out what you're saying. Well, mine don't type out what I'm saying, but it's supposed to type out what I'm saying. It doesn't type out Southern accents for some reason. I don't understand that, because I did part of my paper that I was getting ready to teach on whenever I go to India the other day, and I thought, well, I'll use this thing. I haven't used it in a while, and I put it on there, and I never seen so many mistakes. And whenever I printed out, I started reading over, and it didn't say anything like what I'd wanted it to say. So the computer's not that smart. Either that or it just doesn't understand me. But somehow or other, God is going to have the books, and now I can even imagine how God is going to do it. Do you realize you can take a little chip, smaller than a dime, and put the life history of every single person in this room on that little chip? Isn't that amazing? And we are already behind. If you got one of those little chips, you're outdated, because they've invented something else that's going to be even more inventive. You that grew up in the computer age, do y'all remember these floppy disks that you'd have to put in, and then they went to the hard floppy disk that you put in, and then they went to these CD things that you put in? That's as far as I've ever gotten. And now they've got these things that you can plug in to your computer called a thumb drive. I was sitting in a meeting in Chiang Mai one day, and somebody said, well, did you bring your thumb drive with you so that I can give you this stuff? And I said, I got my thumb with me. What else do you want? Got two of them. Didn't have a clue what they're talking about. They're talking about this little thing you stick into your computer and you can save all your files on that thing. It's amazing what we can do. But I'll tell you something, folks. I believe it is a glimpse of what we're going to see when we get into the glory of heaven. I think God is taking down every single thing that we do, everything that we say, everything that we think, everything that we are. And one of these days, the Bible says, we're going to stand and give an account unto the Lord Jesus Christ for everything in our lives. Now, I know people think, some folk think, that whenever you commit your life to Christ, from that point on, it's all going to just be washed away. Nothing's going to be talked about after that. Let me tell you something. When you come to Jesus Christ, your sin before that is washed away. It's cast away as far as the east is from the west. But you've got an accountability from the time that you commit your life to Christ until the time you go to be with Him. And the Bible says you will give an account for that time. We will stand in the judgment of God. We will give an account unto our Lord because of what we have done and for that which we have not done. Now, I want you to see what Jesus says as He's talking about that experience in the book of Matthew, chapter 25. Begin reading with verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now get this, for I was hungry and you gave Me food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me in. I was naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came to Me. Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the King will answer and say unto them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it to one of the least of these, My brethren, you did it to Me. Then He will also say to those on the left hand, depart from Me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave Me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take Me in. Naked, and you did not clothe Me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit Me. Then they also will answer Him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then He will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, as much as you did it not For one of the least of these you did it not to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. The Bible says that there is a day coming, that there is going to be a time of accountability. And we will give an account unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Revelation chapter 4, John tells us who's going to be on the throne. And the Bible tells us there that it's going to be Jesus Christ himself sitting on the throne to give judgment unto you and I. You see, the first time he comes into the world, he comes as the Savior of the world. He come that he may make preparation for you and I, that we may have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. That we may come into that relationship with him and have a personal relationship with Christ. But the second time he comes is going to be to bring about the judgment. And then when he comes that time, he's going to be our judge. And the Bible says, as we read in our text this morning, that when the Lord comes, the books are going to be opened. Now notice something, all is going to stand before the Lord Jesus. Every single person that's ever been born is going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're going to give an account for that which they have done. Now, I want you to see again here in this passage of Scripture what Jesus is saying. Because there will be an accounting time for you and I. And what he says, even more importantly, what he doesn't say is important to you and I as we think about that day we're going to stand in the presence of the Lord. I did not read in this passage of Scripture where it says, you that are faithful in coming to church are going to have rewards. Did you? Did you see it in there anywhere? If you did, be certain that you correct me when this service is over. I do not see in there anywhere where it says, because you taught a Sunday school class, or you was a preacher, or you was a singer, or you was a deacon, that you're going to receive blessings from God on that day. I don't read it anywhere. You see, we have gotten something confused in our society. We think we're going to be rewarded for the things that ought to be the blessings in our lives. Our coming together in the church is not our have to do. It is our privilege to do. We need to come back to the old understanding of when we come together that we meet with the Lord Jesus Christ. We meet through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we meet with the Lord Jesus Christ, that is our privilege, not our obligation, not our responsibility. You see, when you get up on Sunday morning, you shouldn't say to your spouse or to your children or anybody else, well, I guess I got to go to church this morning. It's Sunday. When you get up on Sunday morning, you ought to get up and say, man, this is the Lord's day. We got to go to church today. Let's go. You ought to go through an experience where you can't wait to get there. You see, I don't understand why people don't come to church on Sunday night. I never have understood it. I still don't understand it. I've even got preacher friends that think you shouldn't have church on Sunday night. And they tell me, well, that's family time. Well, what better place to bring your family than the church? Amen? Isn't that right? I mean, come on. Reality is we ought to bring our family to church with us. This is our privilege. This is the place we get to come and meet with God as a body, united together. The church is the place where we meet in a corporate body. And Jesus loves the church. He always has. He died for the church. He established the church. And he told his children, you come together and worship together. Find strength for one another. That when you go out into the world, you might be ready to do the work that I have set you apart to do. And look at what he says. Here's what you're going to be rewarded for in verse 35. I was hungry and you gave me food. How many hungry people have you fed this week? Secondly, I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. How many gave a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus this week? Thirdly, I was a stranger and you sent me to the hotel. No, that's not what it says. I was a stranger and you took me in. Folks, that goes contrary to our society today. You don't take people into your house that you don't know. Do you? I mean, you don't know what's going to happen. You see, the devil put so much fear in us that we're scared to death anymore to serve God. You were a stranger, and I took you in. You were naked, and I clothed you. Now, I don't think they were completely naked, but they needed clothes. You know, it's going to get cold before long. really is. I started this morning. Whenever I got up, my bones started aching already this morning because I used to love the cold weather, but I'm getting to where I hate it anymore. I dread being cold. Some folks are cold. We got an email from a young man just the other day that asked, whenever we come, can you bring a jacket for us? Because when we ride our motorcycle in this 80-degree weather, we get cold. He lives in India where it's 100 and something in the summertime. When it gets 70 degrees, they freeze to death. I'll never forget being in Chiang Mai, and it was December. And we had just gotten back in from India, and we were relaxing, and Jan and I decided we were going to go swimming one day over at the pool in the hotel. And we went over to the hotel. It was an outdoor pool, and it was about 80 degrees. It was a nice day, I thought. And we're out there swimming, and here's all the Thai people bundled up with their toboggans on and their big coats on, sitting there watching these two Americans like they were idiots out there for swimming in that cold day. You see, we need to understand that there are people in our world that is naked today. There are people that need help today. There are people that need clothes today. There are people that need coats today. There are people that just need some help from us today. Maybe that's why we're not changing the world. We have gotten too stingy with what God has given us. He said, I'm naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. You didn't find excuses why you couldn't go. But you went. I was in prison and you came to me. Now, this is the one that I don't like at all. Man, I've visited jails. I don't like visiting jails. I remember one day I just started pastoring. I was in Owensboro, Kentucky, and we pastored outside of Owensboro, and we had one of our Baptist boys got locked up in jail, and they called me, and I went there to see him. He's on a drug problem. And I went in to see him, and I got there about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And if you're going to go to the jail, always go in the morning. Don't ever go in the afternoon. But I got there about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I went in and I sat down and I talked to him. And I was there about an hour and a half talking with him and ministering to him. And I come back upstairs where they told me to. And they said, now, when you get done, just bang on the big iron door here and somebody will let you out. And I said, well, I understand that. So I come back upstairs and I bang on the big door and nobody comes. I hit it again and nobody comes, and I banged the third time so somebody on the other side would know that somebody wanted to get out. And this guy opens the door, and I'll never forget him, big black guy. I mean, he filled the doorway. He could have squashed me like a bug. And he stood there and he looked at me and said, what do you want? And I said, well, I want to get out. He said, boy, we've got a whole jailhouse full of people here that want to get out, and there's nobody leaving this place unless they walk over me. Do you think you can walk over me? And I said, now, wait a minute, sir, you don't understand. I don't belong here. He said, that's what everybody in here tells me. Well, thank the Lord, there was another one sitting over by the desk, and he looked down and he saw my name and saw that I was a preacher, and he looked up and said, oh, my God, he's a preacher. Let him out. I got out. I saw my jailer friend after that, and he'd just laugh. If I'd go see him today, he'd still be laughing about it. He told me, he said, next time I'm going to tell him, don't let you out. Just keep you in there. Folks, listen, when you go to the jail, they slam that big iron door behind you. And it's not fun when they slam that iron door behind you. It's scary when they slam that door behind you. But do you realize, whenever you go out to visit somebody, it's scary. When you go into a hospital, it's scary. Whenever you do anything for Jesus, it's scary. And we need to learn how to rely upon that fear that we may honor Christ, because one day the books are going to be opened. And then we will give an account. There's one other accounting that I want you to see that you're going to get in the book of Ezekiel. This is one of my scariest passages, but one of my favorite passages in the Old Testament. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 3, verse 16, it says, and now it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. My friend, you listen to me. The church is a watch house for the nation of America. Did you hear me? We are watch people for the people in this community. We are watchmen for the people in Fort Wayne. He says, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet, if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you hath delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you did not give him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he has done, shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning. Also, you have delivered your soul. Look at what he says. Watchmen, we are the watchmen for this nation. We are the watchmen for the people in this area. We are the watchmen, and their blood is on our hands unless we have warned them about the coming of Jesus Christ. And when those books are open, as it talks about here in the book of Revelation, the Bible says you will give an account unto the Lord Jesus Christ for that which you have not done. You see, these books will reveal what we have done and what we haven't done. Not only that, it will also reveal what we have done in a worship service. Invitation times are hard times for me. Because I realize the importance of an invitation time. It terrifies me. We stand up to sing during an invitation time. God's Spirit begins to speak to people during invitation times. And as God's Spirit is speaking to people, some reject Christ. But some make promises to God. Lord, I promise to be more faithful. Lord, I promise to read my Bible. Lord, I promise to pray. Lord, I promise to be in church. Lord, I promise to serve you. Lord, I promise if you give me opportunity to be a witness for you, that I'll do it. We make promises during those times. And when we walk out those doors, those promises are forgotten. But listen to me. God hasn't forgot. They've been written in the book that's going to be open. It will reveal your attitude about the church. And your attitude about the pastor. Folks, listen, I have been roasted over more dinner tables than chicken has. I've been roasted a number of times. People will go out of a worship service and be mad at me. They want to kill the messenger because they didn't like the message that was sent to them. I've preached to people and I've had hate looks given to me. I tell you, I was preaching one morning and if a guy had a gun, he shot me. You could see the hate coming out of him. Because you see, people don't like what God says to them. And I, as a messenger of God, am supposed to cater my message unto what you desire. Listen to me. I will give an account for that which I say out of a pulpit when I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And under God, and as God is my witness, I have no desire to stand before Him as I give pleasing messages to sinful people. Because one day I will stand accountable for every word that I've spoken in the pulpit of God. And I believe that God wants me to speak His word. That's what He called me to do. That's what He expects me to do. And that's what I will do, even if it takes my very life. That's what I'll do. Because one day I'll stand before a greater judge than anybody on this earth can judge me. It'll tell your attitude about Pastor Mike. And whether you support Pastor Mike, whether you don't support Pastor Mike. Now, he's not here, so he may listen to this on internet. I don't know, but it will. It'll tell how you've treated him. It'll tell what you've said about him. It'll tell what you even said in the dark corners when nobody else knows. It'll tell all those things about you. And my friend, the Bible says that you're to lift up your pastor. You're to pray for your pastor. That you're to care for your pastor. You're to encourage your pastor. Just that simple. You ought to be a blessing to the church and a blessing to your pastor. And you ought to encourage him and lift him up and help him to be the person that God wants him to be. You see, there's a revelation coming. But not only is this a book of revelation, it is a book also of confirmation. It is a book of confirmation. This book, whenever they are open, will reveal who you are in Christ. Now, notice something in the passage of Scripture that we're looking at. It says the books will be open, which gives an account of everything that you've ever done and everything that you've ever said. But the Bible also says that there's another book there, and this is called the Book of Life. And your name had better be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Doesn't mean you won't stand and give an account for what you've done and who you are. But it means when these books are open that there is a confirmation that comes. And that confirmation is this: your destiny for all of eternity is over. Whatever decisions that you make about Christ here on this earth is done. If you commit your life to follow Christ and to walk with Him, then that commitment is registered in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it's done, it's final, it's over. Nobody can erase your name out of that book, because God's in charge of the book. But you will give an account for your actions between there and death. It confirms where you're going. And you that are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ will be ushered into the glory of heaven. You want to know what that's like? Look in Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. I don't have time to read it, but just look at it whenever you get home. It tells you about the marvel of heaven. And those that are ushered into the marvels of heaven will experience eternal joy in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But for those that have refused to let their name be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, folks, listen to me for a moment. It doesn't say a church row. This is not the church row. Somebody said, well, I got my name on church row, so I'm okay. I'm fine. No, you're not. Doesn't say that the church row is going to be open. It says the Lamb's Book of Life is going to be open. And that may not be exactly what the church row looked like. And just because you joined a church and you got baptized doesn't mean that you know Christ in a personal way. Doesn't mean that you walk with a Savior. Doesn't mean that you have the Lord in your life. And you need to make certain that you know Jesus Christ in a personal way, that the Spirit of God has come to live in your heart. Because without that, your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you have one other destination. There are two destinations in eternity: the glory of heaven or the pits of hell. And the Bible tells us in our text right here, anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Go on back up and read the first 10 verses of that book, and you'll see who your neighbors are going to be when you get there. Folks, listen to me. It is confirmed through the books. Not only that, it is also going to confirm your rewards. You're going to get what you've earned. It's confirming your rewards. One of the things that I've got to teach about while I'm in India, that's been a fascinating study for me. I guess years ago I've studied it, but I kind of got away from it. And that's the rewards of heaven. Do you realize there are a number of times that Jesus says, when I return, I'll bring my rewards with me. I'm going to bring my rewards with me. I'm going to give my rewards at that time. It's fascinating to study what God's going to do when He returns. And He's going to bring those rewards and give us the rewards for that which we have done. Won't it be great? Well, some thinks it will. But some haven't done anything. And for you, it's not going to be so great. Because you've missed your opportunity. And these books will reveal what happens. Somebody asked one day, said, preacher, why do you think that we're not given those rewards the moment that we die and go into heaven? And I think it's for this. Now, it's not original with me. Dr. W.A. Criswell wrote this in his book, and it just kind of stuck in my brain. But the reason that we're not rewarded the moment we get into heaven is because of what we leave behind on earth. You say, well, once I'm gone, I'm gone. I leave nothing behind. Oh, yes, you do. You leave a reputation behind. Yeah, you do. You leave who you was behind. Your children, your grandchildren will know who you are. Your friends, your neighbors, your fellow Christians, your brothers and sisters in Christ. You leave your reputation behind. And down the road somewhere, you may be rewarded for some of the things that you have done in your life, even after you've gone on into the glory of heaven. It'll be confirmed in the books. Not only is it a book of revelation, a book of confirmation, it is also a book of completeness. When this experience right here happens, it's complete, it's done. History is over as we know it. It's done. Now, that just simply means about three things. First off, it means that God's patience has run out. It's done. It's complete. Peter says in his writing that Jesus doesn't return for the judgment because God is being patient with us, because it is not His desire that any should perish, but all should come to faith in Jesus Christ. That's His desire. But at this time, when the white throne judgment takes place, that's over. God's patience is done with the world. It's over. Not only that, God's grace is finished. God's grace is done. Do you realize that we live under the grace of God today? We serve Him under the grace of God. We come into His fellowship under the grace of God. It's not because we deserve it. It's not because we're worthy of it. It is because of the grace of God in our lives that we come into a holy presence of a living God. But when this takes place, the grace of God is done. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew? They were on the left and on the right, and those that was on the wrong side was cast into the lake of fire. It's over. Don't you think them folk at that time was pleading for mercy? I'm going to tell you something, folks. If I were standing there and I didn't know Christ as my personal Savior, and I was standing on there in the judgment of God, I'd sure plead for mercy then. Especially whenever I saw the eternity that I was going to spend. Man, I'd be crying out to God. But listen to me. It's too late. It's over. The mercy and the grace of God is done at this point. Now, up until then, you still have time. Third thing that happens when the books are open. Third thing that's completed is the hope of man. Folks, when the white throne judgment takes place, hope's gone. It's over. There is no more hope for man. It's done. Because all hope that we have today is in Christ. The hope that you have today is in Christ. The hope of your next breath is in Christ. The hope of your eternity is in Christ. The hope of everything that matters in our world is in Christ. Hope's gone. Judgment comes. Think about it for a moment. When those books are open, what's it going to say about you? Most importantly, when the Lamb's Book of Life is open, will your name be listed in the Lamb's Book? Will it be listed there because there was a day whenever you came under conviction of your sin, that you repented of that sin, that you professed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, invited Him into your life and your heart, and Jesus came to live with you through the Holy Spirit? That's how you get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's all. It's called faith in Jesus and belief that Jesus will do exactly what He says, I'll do. When the other books are open, what rewards are you going to have when Jesus comes? I showed you the list of things that Jesus talked about. Now, I believe that there's others. But I don't think the things we do in the church is in that list. I really don't. I think this is our privilege. I think everything that we do in the church is our privilege. I preach when I get a chance to preach because I'm privileged that God lets me preach. I really am. I teach when I have opportunity to teach because I'm privileged that God gives me opportunity to teach. I serve as often as I can because I believe God gives me the privilege of serving in different ways through His church. That's a privilege. My friend, whenever you serve in the church, you're serving the blessed Jesus Christ who died for you. That's your privilege. The work, Jesus says, is where the harvest is. What have we done in the harvest? That when Jesus comes, He'll reward us for that which we have done. What's the book's going to say about you? What's the book going to say? Or even more, what's it not going to say? My friend, this is the day that your eternity can be changed. You say, but I'm a child of God. You can store up treasures in heaven where thieves can't steal it. Robbers can't get to it. Rust won't corrode it. And when you go to the cemetery in a hearse, it'll already be up there waiting on you. It'll be stored up for you. Isn't that good? But you see, we're so busy with things of the world that we don't have time to do the things of the kingdom. And these things are going to burn up. Paul says in Corinthians, there'll be a testing of all that we've done, and we'll see if they can stand the test of fire. And if they can't stand the test of fire, they won't get into the kingdom of God. I read someplace one time, I've never seen a U-Haul headed for a cemetery. Folks, it don't happen. You're going to leave it behind. You better send something on. You that are not Christians, you have nothing to send. Because it starts with a commitment to Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something. What are you going to do with Jesus today? What are you going to do with the Spirit of God in you today? That's speaking to your heart right now. Heavenly Father, speak to us as only you can. Holy Spirit, move as only you can move this day. Father, I pray that as we prepare for that day of judgment, oh my Lord, that we will be prepared for it, that we'll be ready to go. I pray, Father, that you will prepare us by writing our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, for those that are here today that do not have their name in that book, that before they leave this place, they commit themselves to you, that their name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I pray, Heavenly Father, for those of us that do have our names in the book, that, Lord, we will serve, we will minister, we will do everything that we can to store up treasures in heaven. That one day, when we stand before you, we'll receive the reward, not because of what we've done, but because of what you have done through us, and because of the blessing of your Holy Spirit. And even through that, we see the grace and the mercy and the joy of the kingdom. Even through that, we see the blessing of God. Holy Spirit, help us, I pray, to just see Jesus today. Help us to serve Him. Help us to walk with Him. Help us to give glory to Him, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.